Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And thanks so much for coming back. If you remember, we're a little late on our episode last week. And while that was really unfortunate for us, I'm really touched that a few people had reached out to us and they weren't even friends or family, but they were complete strangers that were like, oh my gosh, I'm really looking forward to the podcast. I can't wait. Like, I really miss the fact that it wasn't out on Tuesday. So that's kind of what we're going for. So thank you.
Yeah, 100%. We're really excited about that stuff.
Yes. So I don't know if you had anything else to say, but I've got a case for you today.
I do not, but I'm really excited to hear about it.
Okay, good. I'm starting to feel like I'm just notorious for finding these cases that have very little information on it. And let me tell you how little information this is. So pretty much anything you Google out there, the first thing that comes up is a Wikipedia article, right?
Yeah.
There's no Wikipedia on this person. So immediately I was kind of, not that I could find.
Oh boy.
So I was like, wow, really unfortunate. So that's why I'm going to tell you guys about her. So even though I couldn't find anything, but even though I couldn't find tons of stuff, like, it was frustrating, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, isn't that the whole point of this, Melissa? Like,
that's exactly why we're doing it.
Yes. So just to add on to that is some of the point of this is like for you guys to hear this story and be like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? And start researching yourself.
I agree. We love hearing like, okay, I looked at the pictures or okay, I read this article. Is there a reason you didn't talk about this? And a lot of times there is. Like, we weed out the stuff that we can't validate. So we love hearing that you did your own research.
Yeah, totally. With that being said,
let's go down the rabbit holes.
Awesome. So this case is about Marion Carter. And she, at the time of her disappearance, was 40 years old. She lived in Boston. And she was divorced, and she had one child, a daughter. And I kind of couldn't figure out the living arrangements or anything, but there was one article that said she was staying with her father in England. You know, it seemed temporary. It seemed like she was able to kind of, like, go with her dad, go with her mom as she pleased. Marion took the divorce kind of hard. I believe her family confirmed that she had been suicidal or had threatened her own life when this happened. But at this point, there had been some time lapsed and she was moving through it. I don't know how much it still resonated with her, but she was making a valiant effort. So no one really knows why or even that she planned to do this, but she books a round-trip flight, and then she books an Alaskan cruise.
That's actually really cool. My husband's, like, dream is to do an Alaskan cruise.
And my parents have done that cruise, or a cruise similar to this, and they loved it, and they made many stops and were able to immerse themselves in the culture, and they had a fabulous time. So, you know, like, I could see why anyone would want to do this. The cruise took off from Washington on August 27th, 2004. So she flew from her home in Boston to Washington, where the ship departed. And she obviously had plans to come back because she had booked that round-trip ticket.
Okay.
So she departs and she's solo. And I don't really think that this is all that weird. I mean, people for a multitude of reasons will book a trip to go solo on. Whether it's just some alone time, reflection, whatever it is. So that's not the part that I really think is abnormal. What I kind of think is abnormal is that she did not tell anyone that she was booking this trip. And not only that, she had done it within days before she actually departed.
Okay, so it was super, like, impromptu, spur of the moment, and she didn't tell people.
Yes, and I couldn't find too much about the type of person that Marion was. Like, was she fun? Was she outgoing? Was she witty? Was she kind? But one thing had said that she was, like, an overachiever. But I guess I can kind of conclude to a reasonable degree that she probably lived a very typical life. Nothing that was super great or super terrible happened to her or happened because of her. And therefore, nothing's really notable. She's just kind of living a normal life like a lot of people do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's reasonable.
But I'm like... She doesn't tell anyone she's going on this cruise. And, you know, granted her daughter's in England, so she's literally across the world at the time that she's starting to leave for this cruise. She, I'm just trying to figure out, like, what do you think is going to happen when someone, whether it's a friend or her parents or her daughter, tries to reach out and can't get in touch with her for a few days? Like, what do you honestly think people are going to do?
Let me ask you a question. Maybe I missed it. What year was this?
2004.
Okay, so in the world of, like, cell phones and all that.
Yeah, and at first I'm like, well, in 2004, like, if someone's trying to call you while you're in the ocean, they're not going to get a hold of you. And honestly, I actually think, I'm not familiar with cruises, never been on one, terrified.
I've been in quite a few.
And I don't think you can actually use your cell phone when you're at sea.
So you can pay for super expensive calling plans. But, I mean, most people don't do that. You can get Wi-Fi, though, and you can text, but probably not in 2004.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking I recently was out of high school. I think I was in college with you. And
yeah.
We didn't have any service on our campus.
We did not.
And I had an old clunky phone anyway, and that's on the mainland, so.
And truthfully, when we used our cell phones, we literally used them to call someone and say, hey, where are you? We weren't really texting a ton.
No,
I
was still paying that 10 cents every message.
Yeah, and I mean, I only called you after 9 because it was free.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So go ahead.
I totally remember that. Thanks. So she boards the cruise and she's solo, like I said. She is confirmed to have been there the first day and through the first night. The next day and for the rest of the cruise, there's actually no confirmed sightings of her.
Okay, but hang on. Back the train up for a second.
Okay.
So I'm only asking because I've been on multiple cruises.
Okay.
So you have these little cards, right? And they're your room key, they're your state ID, whatever, whatever. You need them to get on and off the ship. But can't they track if someone has been in and out of her room?
I'll get there.
Okay. All right,
go. So actually, I'm going to go about this kind of in a different way.
Okay.
I'm going to skip to her missing persons report being filed. So September 7th, a missing persons report was filed. What led up to this was her daughter, in fact, had been trying to get a hold of her. And when her daughter wasn't able to get a hold of her, she's in England, don't forget. She yep. calls her grandparents, who her grandparents are in the U.S. And Marion's father, Ken, or Kendall is his full name. I'll call him Ken, is attempting to get in touch with Marion. And he can't. It's several days at this point. So he calls the police department. And they start a search. And they're trying to figure out what happened to her. And time's going by, and they're really not getting anywhere. So he hires a private investigator. Private investigator is going through her credit cards and stuff like that. And that's when he discovers, oh, she booked a flight and she went on an Alaskan cruise.
The police didn't discover that?
It says that the private, it says that the private investigator discovered okay. that.
Go ahead.
So what would you do next? Well, you're going to call the cruise line, right?
Yes.
You're going to try and figure out what happened. So you have to remember at this time. So they already lost time between when the cruise arrived back in Washington and she was supposed to fly home. And then the 7th, when the missing persons report was filed. And then the time that it took for the private investigator to track this information down. So you're looking at about 3 weeks have passed. Like that's
so everyone has gotten off the ship. Everyone has gone home.
Yep. Yep. If it smells fishy already, it should.
Okay.
So we're 3 weeks in or so. So he's calling the cruise, and it takes the cruise 3 days to confirm that she had even been on the cruise. Crazy.
Well, cruise lines are notorious for, I don't want to say not cooperating, although that's my interpretation of it. I would say it's loosely cooperating, and I use that in air quotes. Like, we'll give you the information, but, like, all the cameras, yeah, we don't really have that footage and all the, like, it's awful. I've actually looked at a case. Go ahead.
Well, Melissa, that's kind of exactly what happened. So they're like, well, do you have any footage of her or whatever? And they said, it gets erased every like 2 to 3 weeks. So
of course it does.
So this is 3 to 4 weeks after she goes missing. So of course that's convenient, right? So the private investigator finally gains access to the ship. So he gets on the ship and he's going to do an investigation, and he starts with wanting to talk to people. So the cruise ship's like, nope, you can't talk to anybody about this case. So he's like, okay. So can I talk to the cabin steward? Nope, we're not going to tell you who that was. He's like, okay, so how about her stuff? Can I have her stuff? Oh, we disposed of that. Some of it's in storage, and her clothes and stuff went to charity.
I can't even eye roll hard enough right now.
He's like, okay, thanks for nothing. This is really weird. So by January,
so like 4 months later.
Yeah, they finally were able to get the cruise line, or, you know, like the cabin steward for a disposition. A deposition, I'm sorry. And that is when they actually learned that on day two, like, the cabin steward was like, okay, something fishy is going on. Like, this person has not arrived back to their room. Their things are untouched. I'm going to say something to my supervisor.
This was the second day?
They said he made reports for 5 consecutive days.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So he goes to a supervisor for 5 consecutive days saying, like, this person is not around. This is really concerning. And the supervisor says to him, and I'm not, this isn't a direct quote or anything like that, but basically, like, just mind your business and do your job. So he just continues to go in her room every day and leave whatever those mint or chocolate things are that are on pillows. He just keeps doing his job like nothing happened. So, I mean, long story short, that supervisor was not following protocol or anything. So he was eventually fired.
What is the point of not telling anyone? Because of how much work you'll have to do? Well, shut up.
I'm telling you, like, I can't for the life of me figure it out. I'm like, you eventually will be tracked down. I mean, you are a supervisor. People are going to ask you what happened to someone. Do you think no one would come looking for her? But, I mean, I'll get back to that. I don't even know. So, you know, like, she had what came out was that she had very little with her. She didn't bring enough clothes for the 7 days. She had a purse, a compact, or like a disc, or like a computer disc, not like a compact disc, like a computer disc. And the clothes were given to charity and the stuff was put in storage. As of right now, no one really knows or thinks that there's anything significant within her belongings.
So did they look at the computer disc? Please tell me they looked at that.
That's not been released.
Okay. So they didn't look at it.
Either that or there was nothing significant or, you know, maybe they're holding something back.
Okay.
But at this point, you know, this is getting really close to 20 years later. No one knows anything and this family can't get any help. So if you want to call it a silver lining, which I feel uncomfortable saying that because how is there a silver lining to anyone's death or going missing or whatever it is that, as you know, Melissa, but maybe not everyone, there's not a whole lot of protection for people on cruises for
there is not.
If they go missing or if anything bad happens to them. So Ken, which is Marion's dad, founded the International Cruise Victims Association. They have a website, internationalcruisevictims.org, to help people find their loved ones. This has happened to a lot of people. And side note, Melissa has a soft spot for tragedies that happen on cruises, so she knows a little bit more than me about this.
I do. I actually never wanted to go on a cruise, and for our honeymoon, my husband, like, really, really, it's all he wanted to do was go on a cruise. So I did a ton of research, and being the crime person that I am, all I read about was, like, these people that go missing. And I actually, on my list, is a case about a girl that disappeared off a cruise on the Disney Cruise Line, because that's the cruise line of our choice. So it, like, fascinates me. But I'm glad that her dad is, like, making something out of it. And also, a lot of it's because they can't say when something happened, so they can't tell you what waters they were in. And if they were in international waters, then it's not anyone's job to investigate. It's the most ridiculous crap I've ever heard in my entire life.
I can't believe that this has gone unregulated for so long. And I believe that during the Obama era, that he was able to pass some legislation in regards to some additional protections for cruise line passengers. Feel free to look into that. And if you have anything to add about that, that'd be great. But I wasn't going to go down that rabbit hole because
let's get back to Marion.
I probably would have gotten really lost.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. So we're now in, what, January, February, and there's nothing. Anyone knows nothing.
Yes, and at some point, the cruise line had released a statement basically implying that Marion had probably committed suicide, which...
How do they know that?
Well, it really angered the family because they're like, what evidence do you have to support that? So there's like some arguments that like, hey, she was suicidal during her divorce or whatever, but they're like adamant that she did not commit suicide and are insulted that they could make such a bold statement after all that they did, however you want to put it, all that they did or didn't do.
So the cruise line basically has given them no help. And
none.
And what kills me is if they would have reported her missing, that stateroom attendant, the first day or the second day, there'd probably be a different outcome. If she did commit suicide, we wouldn't know that. But if there was foul play, if anything else happened, we would know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, I mean, there are a couple of theories. There is the suicide. There is foul play. I mean, those are the two big ones. No one has really brought up she left her life. Although, I think there could be a case made for leaving her life, but there's really
nothing
out there.
Listen to you trying to say that someone can leave their life.
I know, right? Well, I guess I can always say, like, there's reason to bring that theory up, for sure. People can do it. I personally don't think so in this case. I don't think that she committed suicide. She booked a round-trip flight for her cruise. If I was going to commit suicide, A, I don't know that I would go through the trouble of booking a cruise. I mean, you can commit suicide anywhere. And why would you plan a trip back home?
I have so many questions. So, like, she didn't sleep in her cabin. Not for nothing. She's a 4-year-old, attractive woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's allowed to meet someone and go back to their room. Like, that's allowed.
Yeah, but what was she wearing?
Well, I mean, she wasn't naked.
She wasn't naked, but her things were untouched and she didn't pack enough for 7 days.
Right, but she got on the cruise in clothes, I'm saying.
Okay, so although it's maybe unlikely and a little bit odd, she could have stayed in the clothes she was wearing?
No, and maybe something happened to her the first night.
Yes, and let me add one more thing that I forgot to tell you. When you get on a cruise, and I didn't know this, and I don't know if it's just one cruise line or this is how they all work, she has her funds on like a cruise credit card, and it also serves as your identification as well. That was never used.
At all?
At all.
So, I don't know what it was like in 2004, but now your credit card links to your room, and you use your... You can only use your cruise line credit, essentially your ID, to pay for things.
That's my understanding, yes.
I don't know anything about Carnival or anything, or rather Royal Caribbean, but reasonably, unless you were drinking, you could go a day without using your card.
Right. I would agree with
that.
But
not 7 days.
Correct. Also, if you were going to commit suicide, why would you book a cruise and commit suicide on the first night? Like, if you had this grandiose idea of enjoying a final cruise and then committing suicide, wouldn't you want to enjoy those 7 days? Or how 6, 7 days, whatever it was.
Well, what if she just did it to create distance?
To create what?
Distance. Like, fly to the other side of the country to kill yourself. Then, if someone finds your body, the odds of them getting you linked to your family back in Boston is going to take longer.
Right. And what would be the...
I don't know. There isn't really any motivation for that. Your family either thinks you're missing or you think you're dead. Like, I guess at that point, what's worse for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, I guess it's possible that she started a new life. I don't know how.
Well, she did have a trust, I believe. She was unemployed, so she was living off her trust that she established on her own through her work, through her successful, lucrative career.
At 40? How do I get that job?
I don't even know.
Can we look into that?
I would like to look into that, please. Thank you. Talk to me after the podcast. Thanks. But regardless of how she obtained that lifestyle, she was traveling, and she could travel because she wasn't employed, or she could travel like that.
Right. So, did she go? Had she been on a cruise before?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But I feel like you would be able to go to your argument about starting a new life. I feel like you
was her trust
track,
ever touched again?
Right. Not that I read. Nothing has been spent. There's been no activity after she left.
So I wonder if there was foul play, if the cruise line covered it up, though.
Yes. So I'm really on foul play. It's kind of a no-brainer for me.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me why.
I cannot for the life of me understand why on earth they would go to such lengths to stall this investigation and to not report her missing. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but like, what else
do
you
have? If I'm a supervisor and someone's like, someone's missing, I mean, I would report it. It's not like I ever feel like, well, I didn't do anything. No one's going to come after me. Like, I can't babysit people on this cruise. You know, I have grown adults here. Like, why would you hold something back like that?
Well, I guess my question is, like, the guy that lied, well, didn't lie, I guess. The guy that said, do your job and whatever, forget about it, to the steward, like the boss.
Yes.
He was, could he be involved?
I mean, I've wondered that, but then I'm like, what are the odds that he happens to be the supervisor and
what are the odds that he happens to be a supervisor and knows a woman checked in alone? Good. I mean, on all the cruises I've been on, like, we have a stateroom attendant and then we have a supervisor, and we know them by name by the end of it.
Ah.
So if she was alone, theoretically, I mean, he could do something to her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like,
why would you give her things away? Why would you not pay attention to this person that's missing?
If you did something to them, you don't.
Exactly.
So I'm okay with, I'm even thinking, like, could he do have done something? Like, I don't know this guy from Adam, but I just don't know. If you polled 1,000 people, how many of them would say, oh, they're missing? Don't report it.
Right.
And if that's the case, the cruise line would likely be liable. Because they're an employee.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I'm not a complete dummy. Like, I know that, but when you say it out loud, I'm like, but that so sucks for them because they don't have control over individual people's actions, whether or not they're an employee or not. But yeah. I know the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, if you're assaulted by a crew member, I would assume that the police or the ship police, which is literally change the last letter and it's that's what you get.
Yep.
Investigate, and then I assume you file a police report when you get back. And then the cruise line has to be responsible. So the cruise line actually has an incentive to come out and say that she committed suicide. If this guy did it. And I mean, I'm down a rabbit hole right now, but I mean, you could sell me on it.
I mean, to me, that is the most plausible explanation.
I don't know. I'm 50-50. I guess suicide for me is an option, but the round-trip ticket does make me pause.
Right.
Because the round-trip ticket does make me go, well, I mean, it could just be an escape for a little bit and she wanted to get out of town, which is completely reasonable.
Right.
So, you know, I go back and forth on that, but I mean, the suicide does, for me, give me pause a little bit.
I still think, like, if I'm, and I'm not suicidal, so it's really hard for me to put myself in those shoes, but right. If I'm going to book a cruise, if I'm going to have this, like, last hurrah or this period of time by myself or reflection, whatever you want to call it, I'm not going to do it on the first day. I would take my cruise and enjoy whatever's left. Otherwise, I can't see the point of it. You know what I mean?
Right, but, I mean, someone suicidal doesn't necessarily think logically.
Fair enough.
You know, like, they see this as the best option for them. And without getting help, I don't know they can see the other side of it. But that does not mean I don't know. I guess for me, like, it's totally possible that she would not come back. I don't know.
But then I say, like, round trip ticket.
But then I also say, like, why not reach out to her daughter and at least say goodbye? And, like, what happened? What was her? Did anyone search her house in Boston, or did we just forget about that too?
There was nothing in any of the articles I read.
Which means no one did it except for her family, and they are just her family.
And there was nothing significant.
If they did it, they would like to say they did it because people like to say what they accomplished.
Fair.
Do you know what I mean? They'd be like, yes, we did all these things.
Right.
Clearly they didn't.
Her father has stated, though, we still have no idea what happened to her.
Well, I mean, I would expect that. You know what I mean? Like,
but if they're the ones that searched her house, they might not have found anything significant to report.
Oh, right. I'm not saying that they know. I'm saying if they searched her house, I mean, they're not going to announce it because they're her family. I'm saying if, like, Boston police went in and tore her house apart because they thought this was a crime, we would know that.
Yes. Yes, I would agree with that.
But I don't think we know that because I don't think they did that. But then, I guess, go ahead. I guess Boston PD wouldn't be involved at that point because as far as they were concerned, she flew to Seattle or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I would hope they would search the house, like.
Going on to the foul play thing, going back to that, I ask myself, like, is this a crime of passion? Is it, you know, she meets someone the first day and someone, I don't know, maybe makes advances or something that she's not really having it.
Like a stateroom attendant that has a key to your room?
Possibly. Or is this like some weird sex trafficking thing?
No. Not for me, it's not.
Okay.
For me, I like a cruise line employee. And maybe not the stateroom attendant himself. Maybe, like, his friend. Maybe. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be that person. It could be anyone that guy is willing to cover up for.
Right.
But, I mean, likely is that guy because no one's willing to cover up for someone this long. Although, it's over. Do you know what I mean? Like, and not for nothing. If it was him and then he got fired and he signed like an agreement saying I'm never going to open my mouth again for Carnival, or I'm sorry, for Royal Caribbean, it's over too.
Yeah, that's true. So if he assaults her or something, do you think he throws her overboard or does he try and smuggle her off the ship at one of their locations in which they docked?
I mean, I think he throws her overboard. No body, no crime. That's my assumption. And I mean, I'm just guessing, but I think that for me is the best solution, because let's say there's a assault motive or robbery or whatever. He comes in her room with a key. He can do whatever he wants and put the room back together, and it's over. Right. And all that happens is his employee is like, she's missing. And he's like, shut up. No, he's not. She's not. Go away.
Right.
And that's it.
And that's where I fall. I mean, for the cruise line and the supervisor to be so hush-hush about it, that is hugely suspicious to me. If you're a good person with good intentions, I don't care what's behind you. Like, what's over your head? Like, you're going to do the right thing, or maybe that's really naive.
That is really naive, because nearly every cruise line missing persons, the cruise line does not cooperate.
That's incredible to me. And I just want to say that, being that Melissa has a special place in her heart for this.
I do, because, like, I love cruise lines. I love cruises. And it just blows my mind that, like, you think that you are so safe when you're on a cruise because you're on this ship. Like, we made a joke the last time we were on a cruise. Like, the cruise line we were on is a cash-free ship, right? You can't use cash anywhere.
Yeah.
It's everything's on your stateroom card. So, like, the biggest thing that you worry about is, like, what if pirates come? And my husband literally looked at me and was like, well, they picked the wrong ship because there's no cash.
Clever.
And I was like, oh.
But I would think you're safe, too. I mean, falling overboard would probably, or sinking would be my fears. But I would think when you get on a cruise ship, you're with professionals. If something happened to you, someone is going to see it. Or how far can someone get on a vessel that you can't run from?
Well, I'll tell you this. Two things. One, you have to try to fall overboard. Like, the rails come up to, like, probably, like, my mid-chest, and I'm 5'2", so they're probably 4 feet high. So you'd have to, like, literally try to get overboard. Second of all, how far can you get? I don't know. Ask Amy Bradley or Rebecca Corium or anyone else that's gone missing on a cruise ship that people think they went missing literally on the cruise ship. You know,
Yeah. People,
I mean, you don't think you get far, but cruise ships are massive. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And my mom's like, it's like a small city.
It is.
Like, you forget you're on a cruise.
There are like 3 or 4 restaurants. I mean, I'm just thinking for 1 second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 6 restaurants that I can think of off the top of my head on the last ship we were on.
That's incredible. Incredible.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, it's massive. And you don't think, and you also have a sense of security, like that vacation sense of security. Like, nothing's going to happen to me, I'm on vacation type thing. Which,
yeah,
we learned in the, like, Dominican Republic in the last year. That doesn't happen. Things can happen to you, but still you have that false sense of security. So you let your guard down a little bit, which you shouldn't, but I mean, I'm a crime junkie, whatever you want to call me. I'm into it, and I let my guard down.
Yeah. Yep, who doesn't?
Okay, so I'm like 60-40, 65-35 foul play.
I'm almost, I have to say, like 100%.
I just don't know enough about her, and it's because no one knows enough about her because the stupid cruise line. But you know,
yeah. So what I was gonna say,
they had 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh, so much time was lost. Her stuff, like, yeah. No one was able to take photographs of her room or anything like that. The camera footage from the ship was said to be erased after 2 to 3 weeks, but it was really a month, so they could have actually checked it, the time in which they asked for it. So
I will say, as for her room, yeah, and I will say, as for her room, I mean, so we joke that, like, when we go on a cruise, breakfast the next morning, you either have, if you have early dinner, breakfast is at like 6:45 and late dinner is like 8:15. And at like 9 o'clock, they start coming over the loudspeaker being like, the ports are open. Please gather your luggage and you depart the cruise. And my husband's like, that's our get the heck off the ship, people. Let's move. We have another round of people to board. They start boarding the next cruise at noon. So
that's fast.
There's like, and they don't want to stop that process.
No.
Which, I mean, a human life should be worth more than that. But a lot of it is they don't want to stop that process.
And an investigation definitely would do that. They would halt that.
Which is ridiculous, in my opinion.
They would halt that for, I would think, days for a thorough investigation.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're on foul play.
So they could lose money. I get it.
Yes. Which, no amount of money amounts to a person. But either way, cruise line, do your thing.
Yep.
So I could be convinced of foul play. I would like to know more. I want them to tell me what happened to her rim card swipes. Where was her thing swiped? I want to see camera footage for the hallway. Like, there are so many things I want that we're never going to get.
Right.
It makes
me
crazy.
And her family's never going to get that. Yeah. Like I said, Melissa's passionate about this, and if I haven't solidified her next case before this, it might be solidified now. I don't know, but this isn't the last you're going to hear about cruise ship tragedies.
Rebecca Corium is on my list. It will happen at some point. And it's not my next case. I'm actually really into my next case, but Rebecca Corium will happen someday.
Yes. So if this has piqued your interest, if you're now like suspicious about cruise lines and stuff like that, you should be. And you'll definitely hear about it because this needs to be known by everybody. That's how I feel. I didn't really know too many cases before about this, but now they're popping up. And if you visit the internationalcruisevictims.org website, you will be overwhelmed by the amount of things on the page. Completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are some crazy ones out there. Amy Bradley's a big one. Go look at that one if you want. It's crazy. I mean, there are witnesses that said that they saw her being sex trafficked. Like, they literally saw her.
Right.
And didn't, yep, and didn't report it. It's things are crazy. Nuts. But yes.
Yes.
Either way, for this woman, I hope her family gets closure someday. I doubt they ever will, realistically, unless someone gets a conscience. But, you know.
Yes. So if, by chance, you have any information, or you were on that cruise line and, you know, you saw her or know anything, you can contact the Cambridge Mass PD at 617-349-3211 or the Alaska Missing Persons Clearinghouse. That's 907-269-5058. And I can't stress enough, please visit internationalcruisevictims.org for more information.
I have one more question.
Yep.
There is proof that she boarded the cruise ship, correct?
There is some grainy footage of her getting on, but I believe there are witnesses that claim they did see her.
But no one has verified like a passport was used to get on or any of that. Of course not.
No, would she have needed a passport? She's in U.S. waters, I believe.
Doesn't matter. You go into international waters. You need a passport or you need a driver's license and a birth certificate and another form of ID. So they ID you to get on the ship.
My understanding is she's confirmed to have gotten on the ship.
Well, that's nice. I'd like to know how they confirm that.
They don't have records of the places they stop people getting off.
Of course they don't. What do you mean they don't have records?
Right.
This is insane to me. Like, I don't know. Apparently it was the Wild Wild West in 2004 of cruising. If anyone has cruised in 2004 and you want to share with us how it was a free-for-all, please let me know. Because I've only cruised in 2012 and forward. So I understand that I have to swipe my badge every time I get off and on. They take your picture. They do all the things. I want you to tell me that they could just let, just open the gates and people can just get on the cruise.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I know what you mean. I have probably even more questions than you because I'm so unfamiliar with cruises. Never had a desire to go on one before.
Yeah.
And if I did have any desire, it would have been squashed. So, yeah.
I will still cruise, but I am very cognizant of it.
Good for you. Good for you. Good luck.
Thanks. All right. So I vote.
Join us in the conversation, guys.
Yes.
Catch up with us on social media. Let us know your thoughts. Teach me something new about cruises, please. Make me understand.
Yes. Seriously, if you cruised in the early 2000s, I would love to hear about your experience. You can email us at theories down the rabbit holes podcast.com. You can send it on our social medias. We are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. It's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please DM it to us. I don't care how you get it to us. I want to know about it.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And that's all I've got, too. So.
And we'll be back next week with one of my cases that I'm really excited about.
Awesome. Me too.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
What if the key to reversing aging is hidden in a golden retriever's DNA? Could chaos theory help economists forecast the future of the economy? Have psychologists actually cracked the science of happiness? If any of those questions grabbed your attention, then you have to check out Big Brains, a podcast that doesn't just explain the latest breakthroughs, it introduces you to the people who are achieving them. This isn't pop science dressed up with clickbait. It's The Real Deal, produced by the University of Chicago, a global leader in academic research with leading scholars, not influencers. These are real ideas and insights from real experts made accessible to everyone. If you're craving depth, clarity, and knowledge that lingers long after the episode ends, then tune in to Big Brains. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or find us at bigbrainspodcast.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, are you looking for a true crime podcast to binge?
Check out True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everyone's talking about.
We've been one of the top true crime podcasts for almost 9 years.
And we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.